fest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house in the middle of our...
Isle's house, Ethan, Rocco, Jack, here with you post-Olympics. We are ready for Islanders hockey. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at Isle's Den, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow the podcast page at Isle's House. Subscribe to the podcast. We are everywhere you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. Smash the subscribe button on YouTube. All right, QR code if you're watching on the top right. That's for the merch store. I'm rocking the Casa hat. Rocco's rocking the Casa hat and the hoodie. Jack is also rocking a hat, although it is backwards. It looks better. Poor marketing, but it looks better, so we'll deal with it. Shout out to the Rust and Gold down below. We are sponsored by them. If you're looking for a great bar or restaurant to watch a sporting event, check out the Rust and Gold in Huntington. And, of course, the bottom bar, patreon.com/Isle's House. If you love the podcast, you want extra content, you want access to the Discord, check out patreon.com/Isle's House. We just uploaded an Isle's Files yesterday evening, or I guess if you're listening to this two evenings ago, with the latest that we're hearing before the deadline, including some major Islanders potential happenings. Gentlemen, we're back. How is everyone?
Happy to be back. Excited for the game tomorrow. Lots of
revenge. Revenge game.
Yeah, excited to be back.
You sound thrilled.
Yeah, totally thrilled. No, excited for Isles hockey to be back for sure. Not a ton of content Isles-wise other than what's going on potentially trade-wise. So tonight we're actually going to go back through some of our preseason predictions and see where we stand on them. So some good, some bad, some embarrassing. So we'll run back through them and see who did it best, really.
So let's get right into it. What's first up?
First up, we had Ilya Sorokin save percentage. It was set at 915. I had under. Jack had over. And Ethan had under. Jack, where does he currently sit?
Jack gets to flex by 0.1 as he has a 916 save percentage right now. I knew it, guys.
Yeah, I mean, still a ways to go. But one thing I will say about my prediction, I don't remember exactly what Ethan said, but my reasoning for going under was because I thought the defense was going to be a lot worse than it is. I think we all thought that going into the season.
Well, defense still is quite bad.
It's still quite bad, but we have Matthew Schaefer, and he's...
To be honest, this is one of those where, like, nobody should be embarrassed. Like, this could still very easily go under.
No, I mean, it's close. It's literally...
It's pretty high bar, 0.1. We probably should have set that a little lower looking back.
Agreed. Yeah, probably like 9-10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, we had the Barzal points set at 70. We all went over. Jack, what's he at?
He's at 57 points. Let me see here. He's at 51 points in 57 games played.
Ethan, any math there?
82 game pace of 73.37 rounded up.
Good for us. Good for us. Everyone on pace, good.
Wait, but he's not going to play 82.
No, he's not, but I think all these point predictions were based off each player playing a full 82.
Okay.
What is Barzal going to – if Barzal plays the rest of the game, what is he going to hit, 80?
Yeah.
He could still definitely hit 70.
Yeah,
easily.
All right. Next one was Horvat total points set at 65. I went under. And you guys go over. Not good.
But Horvat has 40 points in 44 games.
Which is an 82-game pace of 74.55 points.
Looking to smash. Next one, we had the over-under of Andersley goals at 30. We all went under.
And we're all eating good because he has 11 in 58 games.
11 in 58 is an 82 game pace of 15.55.
So when we all take something together, we're 2-0.
Oh, the consensus is 2-0. Okay.
Yeah, I know there's another consensus coming up that I think we're all going to be right on. Palms, we had his over-under for goals set at 20. I was over, Jack was over, and Ethan was under.
Nailed that one.
Nailed that one because of injury. But as I said, this was based on 82 games, and I think he was pacing over.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the numbers based on 82 games, but I specifically said under because I didn't think he would stay healthy.
I don't know, Jim. Jack, he did. What was the number?
I made a big fuss about this one.
He did.
And I thought he was going to fly over, and he was going to go over, I think, 6 goals in 25 games.
It's about
19.68.
So
we round up.
Honestly, though, with Palms, like when he's healthy, I feel like he's always good for that stretch where it's like a 3-4 game stretch where he just has like 5 goals.
Yeah, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
Or gets hurt.
The next one, Shabanov, under 40 points. I was under, Jack was under, Ethan was over.
Oh, he's got 16 points in 40 games. He's pacing for, 32 at 82?
Mm-hmm. Just above that, maybe.
Sorry, what was it? 16 in what?
40.
82-point pace of
32.8. Not good.
Not good. No, I think we all really underestimated the translation of his game to the NHL, and the size is 100% a factor.
Well, you were the only one to sit over, so I think Jack and I knew.
Yeah, okay, all right.
He was boom or bust.
Yeah, we said that from the jump. He was boom or bust. He had to be – in order to put up points, we knew he had to be a true top six guy, and he's not looking that way. But one thing I wanted to bring up on him quickly, do you guys remember the first 5 games we were so excited about this guy?
He was so good. Yeah.
He looked so good. And then what happened. Jonathan Drouin, the over-under points-wise was set at 50.
Yeesh.
We all went under.
Jack, can we get an update? How many days has it been since Jonathan Drouin scored a goal with his hockey stick?
It's been 104 days since Jonathan Drouin has scored a goal. It's been 110 days since he scored a goal with his hockey stick. Game day tomorrow in Montreal, by the way, where it did not end well for him.
No. What are we currently at points-wise?
He has 20 points in 51 games.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if we need to calculate it for this one, bro.
20 and 51, 82 game pace of 32.16.
Can he even get to 40?
So what do we all have the under there?
Yeah. We all had the under.
Yeah. 3-0 when we're all together.
Simon Holmstrom, over under 50 points. I was over. Jack was under. Ethan was over.
Holmstrom has 29 points in 56 games.
82 game pace of 42.46.
I think that could be a Jackie W right there.
It might be, but it's close.
This will go over next year. He's changed as a player now.
Jack,
has he changed as a player? He's changed in your eyes.
No, he's actually changed as a player over the last few months. He can drive play like he never has before. But you saw that coming, to be fair. I just didn't.
I did.
Okay. Next one, Siplikov, over under 40 points.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Jack went over. Ethan went under.
Dude, he has 2 points in 20
games. He's on pace for 8 points.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Next one is Duclair. We had the over-under set at 40 points. I was under. Jack was under. Ethan was over.
This is close.
What does Duke at? He's surprisingly has a decent amount of points. He just has huge games.
Yeah.
26 points in 54 games. It's close.
On pace for 39.48.
Wow.
It's going to be a tight one.
On the money. Great line.
And this one's funny because it already hit, and we all said over. Matthew Schaefer over under 35 points.
Yeah.
Oh, we all went over.
So what's the consensus? 4-0?
Yeah.
Either we're all geniuses or we set really bad lines or maybe a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good lines and some bad lines.
Did you check a sports book for that Schaefer line? I feel like that was kind of realistic.
When I did these, I was trying to find all of it online, and you know, the more obscure players were a little tougher to find. So I kind of just 100%. I went through their like career stats and kind of averaged it out and just went off that. Cal Ritchie, over under 50 games played. I was over, Jack was under, and Ethan was over. How many is he at now?
He has 41. He's going to hit.
So gonna hit. That's going to fly over.
Schaefer, Calder winner. Jack and I, yes. Ethan had his boy Demidov.
Yeah.
But wow. Don't forget, preseason, Demidov was like a crazy favorite for this award.
Was yeah. Ryan Leonard up there too?
Not really, I don't think.
Who
I think
was the it was, other guy?
Seneca?
Yeah, maybe him.
And there's someone. Is there a goalie?
Well, now there is. But before the season, I feel like there was some hype around a few players that, like, can't even remember them now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of. There was one other rookie that was kind of like. Is there an import maybe that, like, a guy a little older that came over
Let's
or something
see.
Like that? Whatever. This one's. You know, I don't know how. This didn't even need to be one, but Pierre Engvall over under 30 games played. Ethan and I were under. Jack was over.
Of course I was. Idiot.
Now we're starting to get now we're starting to get into some of the more interesting stuff. Our most improved player this season. Ethan took Holmstrom, which of course he did.
Of course.
Jack took Mayfield, and I took Heinemann.
Oh, there you go. You win that one.
Well,
actually, Holmstrom has been.
I don't know, bro. That's close.
Yeah. No, actually, Holmstrom might win that. I don't know. Good choices by you two. Idiotic for me again.
I mean, I don't think it was that bad for you, Jack. He hasn't. I mean, Mayfield's been better.
Yeah. You just picked a low point total kind of guy for most improved. It's like, you really needed a lot for that one to come to fruition.
Yeah. What did I think was going to happen?
I think overall, they're all improved. Heinemann based off his last season in Montreal. Holmstrom's looked a little better overall, and Mayfield's been better than last year.
Yeah.
So I think they're all fair picks.
Yeah.
Regression candidates. Ethan and I had both had Lee. Check. And Jack had, I can't believe it. I still remember when he made this pick. I was shocked.
I do too. I know exactly who it is.
I almost fell out of a chair when Jack picked Tony D. But he's still dancing on him.
Pelicans has been as steady as ever.
I love being wrong on this one. Seriously. Awesome.
And this one could be the first consensus that we're wrong. It could be. It's not decided yet. Will Jean-Gabriel Pageau be traded? And we all said yes. So we'll see on that one. Will Lee be traded? Jack said yes. Ethan and I said no. Will Cizikas be traded? Ethan and I said yes. Jack said no.
I like that for Jack.
Yeah. Deadline approach, we know we're going to get into that after this, so we're not going to discuss that one. Will Wah be the coach next year? We all said yes. I think I can't see him not being the coach next year at this point. This is where Jackie may have cooked. Do the Isles make the playoffs? Ethan and I said no. Jack was yes from the start. And as of now, they would make it. Still tight. I think Washington won tonight. So,
yeah,
getting tight.
They got to pick up some ground on Pittsburgh while Crosby's hurt. They have some important games coming up.
All right. And the last few, these are more league-wide. The Metro Division, we all had Carolina winning it, which we're all going to be right. I don't know if any of us will be right with the second. Jack and I had Washington 2. Ethan had New Jersey 2. Yeah. Jack had the Isles 4th in the Metro.
Ethan I had them 3rd.
What? No, you had them 4th.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Carolina, Jersey, Washington, Isles.
Wow.
Ethan and I had them 6th. And Ethan and I had Pittsburgh last, which Jack had Pittsburgh 6th. So a little all over the place. We all had Philly towards the bottom. But basically, we all nailed Carolina. That was kind of an obvious one.
Where did I have the Rangers?
You had the Rangers 1, 2, 3, 5th above the
Did I?
So did I. We all had the Rangers 5th, and we all overvalued them.
Yeah,
we did.
Who wins the Eastern Conference? I said Tampa. Jack said Carolina. Ethan said Tampa. Could all happen. All
yeah, of them. Those are all the favorites right now, so it's a good read.
Who wins West? We each answered differently. Jack had the best answer as of right now. Jack said Colorado. I said Edmonton, and Ethan said Vegas. All very much alive. And then who wins the Cup? We all picked Western Conference. Ethan had Vegas, Jack had Colorado, and I had the Oilers. So I don't see the Oilers this year, but you never know. Yeah, and that was it for our predictions. Overall, I think we did okay.
We did. Dude, when
the Pacific kind of stinks.
When we all agree, it's kind of crazy. We should convene more.
But it has to be – the thing is, it has to be natural and real. We can't force it. Then it won't work.
It does. Like, no convincing. Either we agree or we don't.
Right. You can't force it. But moving down on our rundown just of the main discussion as far as this episode, we went through all our predictions. Jack was the one who had the Islanders in the playoffs. Now, they are in position at the moment, but there's still, you know, it's pretty tight in the Metro still. I think Washington moved 2 points out despite maybe playing two more games. Pittsburgh is just ahead of the Isles in that second spot. I believe they're a point ahead with two games in hand, but Crosby's out 4 weeks. Then you got teams like Columbus still in the mix, and then obviously a few others below trying to make their run, but a little less likely. When it's all said and done, do you guys think this team makes the playoffs? And if they do, where do you see them slotted standings-wise?
I think I see them in the same spot that they're in right now. And I'll be honest, I did pick them before the season, but if this was a normal 82-game season in which there wasn't an Olympic break, there weren't a million back-to-backs on these teams' schedules – there's a little bit of a flukiness to the regular season, in my opinion. And I think that has a major benefit to the Islanders, who are, I think we could all agree, are a pretty flawed team. But look, they sent the least amount of players to the Olympics. Hopefully it gives them a rest. But on the other hand, I worry about players that are in rhythm, like Sorokin. Like I don't love him getting a lot of time off, honestly. Like maybe like a couple games, sure, but 3 weeks, it feels like a full reset, and he was in a great rhythm. But for the guys struggling up front, it should be beneficial.
Yeah, I see them in a playoff spot, but Jack, I've been kind of thinking about that a lot over the last few days, that rhythm argument where, I mean, we've seen two different Islanders teams, or not even just this year, but over the last couple of years where, I mean, they come out looking totally flat or they come out playing crackhead hockey, and my answer to this question is kind of dependent on how they look in the first 5 minutes of the game tonight. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
One positive of the break, though, is Columbus, who was chasing us, were on an absolute tear. And it just, yeah, it was like the only thing that could slow them down. I think they won 9 out of 10 or something like that.
They won 9 in a row.
Yeah. So that's crazy. So, beneficial for us that sort of hopefully slowed them down. But I do think this team makes the playoffs. I think the Metro's weak. I think they have enough talent to make it. I think they have Sorokin and net. They have Schaefer shining on the back end. And you have enough up front to allow you to make it as is. I know Pittsburgh's banged up, but I think I agree with Jack. I think third spot in that Metro. That's where I'll put them.
At this point, yeah.
And I think some – yeah.
Honestly, in that third spot, I've said this on this pod before. Say it's like Pittsburgh, we could beat Pittsburgh. Like, I don't easily think it's not going to be as long as it's not Carolina in the first round, which it's most likely not going to be, because if we make the playoffs, I think it's a Metro slot in 2 or 3.
Dude, I don't know.
We'll have a shot. It will be a series.
Pittsburgh could fall off so hard.
They can. It could end up being Washington.
Like, no Crosby for at least a month. Malkin's old. Letang's coming back from an injury. Who knows how he's going to look? You don't know.
I was saying this to our boy Big Hat Dan, who came by the restaurant before. Like, as good as Malkin's been this year, he's been a comeback player of the year candidate type deal. He I, he's not a spring chicken anymore. Like, he can't just lift the team up on his own anymore, I don't think, like he used to when Sid was out.
He might.
He might just turn back the clock and do it. But, yeah, I don't want to totally discredit them because they deserve a lot of the credit for the season they've had. But I don't know. I think Pittsburgh's a good matchup for us. I would not like to play Washington. As we discussed, they're too big. They would beat us up, I think, in a seven-game series. Not a good matchup for us. But, like,
if and it's we all agree.
Columbus, I think we have a really good shot in that series. So not only do I think we make it, I also think we have a really good shot to win in the first round. And then beyond that, we'll see. You never know who you get matched up with. Like, Carolina could get matched up with a Buffalo type that comes in hot. Maybe they knock them off. We don't know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd be rooting for it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Playing the Capitals in the first round would kind of be like a nightmare.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird because I feel like they've been chasing us most of the year, but I do not want to play them at all. It's just a bad match. Bad match.
Big team.
We know Ethan likes that.
The big boys.
Going on to our last topic before we head to the Q&A, which we know always takes us a good bit because we always get so many good questions from the Discord. Matthew Darche. We're not going to get into too many players here because I'm sure we'll get into them within the questions. Just his approach. What do you guys see? Do you think he stands pat? Do you think he goes and sells off a little? Or do you think he buys? And if you think he buys, does he go heavy? Or does he go more in the middle of just trading a mid to late round pick for another player, like another Susi Palat-esque move?
He's buying.
You think buying?
I think he's buying big. Yeah.
Going hard or going home?
Yeah. He's going hard.
I think buying too.
I think he's going for a big fish here.
And this is my thing, and I said this on Isles Files, and I'm not leaking anything by saying it again. I feel that if you buy at this point, like, make it a good player. Like, I don't think we need another Palat or Susi-esque move. What'd you say?
I said Palat the same time you did.
Yeah. Like, we don't need another Palat or Susi. Like, if that's the case, let's just run with what we have and see and keep all our future assets. But if you do want to make the move, it's got to be a needle mover, in my opinion. Like, go – you're not emptying the tank, but you now have the assets where you can move a few and it won't hurt you that much. So if the right guy's out there, hint, hint, wink, wink, I would definitely go for it.
Subscribe to the Patreon.
Yes. Are we ready for the Q&A?
Let's do it.
Up first, friend of the program, Kevin. If no other moves are made, where do the Isles finish in the standings? We all just gave our take on that. I had third.
Metro third. I think Metro third.
Josh Elkin
falling off a little bit.
Do you really think they'll fall off that much if they don't add? Like, I.
Not really. I mean, the Metro stinks. That's the problem. I mean, probably not.
The thing is, it's really hard to make up ground in this condensed schedule because, like, when the Capitals beat us a few weeks ago and they had to play the next night in Philly and they lost in regulation, and then we won that stupid overtime game against Pittsburgh, and, like, just like that, it's erased. It's going to be really hard to make ground. Josh Elkin, whether it's a buy or sell, how many total trades do you think Darche makes between now and the deadline? Do we have to count the Luffs and those transactions?
Two.
I'm going to say three.
Say one.
Okay.
Scuds, what's more likely, Islanders acquire Kyrou or that they trade Pageau? In parentheses, hoping for both.
Same.
I think we all are.
I think it's more likely they acquire Jordan Kyrou.
I think so too.
I don't think they're trading Pageau.
I think so too. Next question.
Chris G, U/S/A. How can we go from watching the greatest hockey achievement we have ever seen as hockey fans to Kyle McLean and Carson Soucy? It's not fair. Go USA. Anyways, is Darche going to see how these next few games go before deciding what to do? Plausible he has an idea now, but a few bad games could change things.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters a ton because I think what he's trying to do will be for beyond this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a couple of games shouldn't screw them that bad if they come out looking atrocious, which I don't think they will.
How many games between now and the deadline? Like five?
Let me check. We have Montreal Thursday, Columbus Saturday, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five games.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't make a move and they were to hypothetically go like 1-4, yeah, that might change things a little bit. But if they wanted to wait it out and it didn't go well, but I think he's going to do what he wants to do if he could pull it off at his price.
Agreed. As for watching McLean and Soucy, we've gotten a break from Soucy, so give him a clean slate when he gets back. Sam, why would anyone not get the insiders here? This shit is electric.
That wasn't a question, but thank you for the promo.
Well, it was a question. Why would anyone not get the insiders here?
Oh, I guess it was a question.
Yeah.
And then it was a statement after. He answered, you know.
This one is from Steve. Is there a player not discussed you could see Darsh making a trade for or traded away from the Isles?
Not discussed? Like,
well, I'm going to be very liberal in my use of not discussed because I feel like maybe he's been mentioned once or twice. Turbo, Teravainen.
Yeah. More like a Mikheyev if they want to go for the in-betweens.
Right.
Which
strikes out on a big fish.
Again, I said I'm sort of against at this point. At the end of the day, if you trade like a fourth, fifth round pick, it's not the end of the world. But I just don't – like if you're going to give this team a chance, give them a chance. And in order to give them a chance, I think they need another high-end forward, not a middle ground guy.
Yeah. Steven B9, do you prefer memory pillows or standard pillow?
Jesus Christ. Standard.
Are you guys hard pillow guys or soft pillow guys?
You need both. Hard.
Yeah, both.
When I lay down at night, I can't be sinking.
No, because the hard underneath and then the soft, it's like a perfect mix of support. Although I have a feeling Steven is using them for a different purpose. And,
yeah, Steven and pillows can't be trusted. But
no.
I know this question was asked by the Owls admin quickly. How many pillows do you guys use at night when you go to bed?
Two.
Two.
I'm two also.
Yeah.
It's got to be. I agree. Two. Yeah. Correct.
Consensus.
One is crazy. I think if you go over two, you get a little nuts too.
Oh, you can't do more than one. You can't do more than two, but one is nuts.
Robert, if the Isles stay second or third in the Metro, who do you want to face in the first round?
Pitt.
Agreed.
Give me Columbus.
I miss Jari, but still Pitt.
Yeah.
They got new Jari.
We have Jari at home.
Yeah.
March, aside from the undisclosed forward, are there – oh, shit. Sam, actual question. What does your ideal Lee extension look like?
Zero by zero.
Yeah, zero by zero, buddy. But I guess to be realistic, I'll go just not more than $4 million.
Or how about this? If you're going to extend him, just a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Because then you could line him up with Palmieri, Drouin, Zekas, and maybe one other guy's up next year. Line him up with that whole group. Kind of protect yourself a little bit.
That's smart. I like that. Next question from March. Aside from the undisclosed forward, are there any younger players Darsh is targeting to be a part of the core moving forward as opposed to some 33-year-old?
Maybe. there's a name I don't want to say right now. I'm not going to say that name. If you – Isles Files, you know it. I'm not going to say it this publicly. Trying to think of some others. I mean, there's some names out there that are, like, solid, but I think we know. Like, I think Kyrou types at the top of the list, and then it's a bunch of – either it's going to be, like, an unexpected guy or a guy we all go, meh. It's not going to be – I don't think there's any wow guys this year. I think if we land someone, it'll kind of be
The next question, I could sense the sarcasm from last night's podcast. K-Mac, question for Jack. What do you think the driving distance from Raleigh to Nashville is?
What do you think?
because I said it was right. I said it was right there. Okay.
I agree with you, though. I was just as at fault.
I'm going to guess it's 5 hours now.
I'm Googling it. I have no idea. I have no perception.
Oh, because K-Mac's a native, so he takes offense to this shit.
Oh, wow. All right, so what was your guess, Jack?
5 hours.
Rocco, what's your guess?
9.
Yeah, you're closer. I think right now, no traffic, 8 hours, 15 minutes.
So 9.
Yeah, that's deep.
At least. You got to stop for gas.
Can't believe they're not in the same division.
Can't believe it.
What's the next one?
Mark D20. Which top prospects would you be most okay with trading for a big fish? Eklund, Iserman, Cash, Nelson, Prokhorov, Gamzin.
Nelson by far would be, like, I'd be most okay giving up Nelson. Eklund's on the complete other end. I would basically want Eklund off the table for just about everybody.
I'd be okay with shipping any of them, to be honest with you.
Me too, Jack. I was going to say the same thing. I mean, it depends for what player, obviously. Yeah. But
I'll be honest, outside of Nelson, I think we're in such desperate need long term to hit on a forward that I think the guys I would keep are like the highest value I'd keep are probably Eklund, Iserman, and Prokhorov, personally.
I'd move any of them.
And then I'd listen on all of them except for basic Eklund. If it's the right player, like you're going to tell me Robert Thomas might be available, I could put Eklund on the table.
Right.
So if that's the case, sure. But for Kyrou, I don't think I'd put Eklund there. I'm not. I like Aitchison, but I think we're somewhat overvaluing Aitchison.
That's my most okay with going easily.
We're stacked on the left side where. We have Schaefer here, hopefully forever. Pellick signed for a while. We just signed Romanov forever. So those are the three left-handed spots. If Aitchison comes in, it's probably replacing Pellick long-term whenever Pellick is done or on the cusp of being done. So I don't think that's any time too soon. So I'd be okay getting rid of Aitchison just from a positional standpoint. And then Gamzin's kind of in there too, right? Because like Sorokin's here for the long haul as well. So as much as I like Gamzin, I wouldn't be opposed to moving him in the right deal.
Same.
Next question is this the dumbest hockey reporter question ever? The question is, Stanley Cups found Gretzky and Crosby and gold medals. You've put yourself in position and it's not finding you. Did you think it would be this hard? Connor McDavid said, that's a nice question. Thank you. First of all, balls to ask that guy that. Yeah. Like, he just looks like a dick. I don't know him. Like, I don't watch many of his pressers, but he just looks like a...
Ooh, McDavid?
He does not look like a pleasure.
Like, you know what he looks like? A guy that plays in Canada and is sick of the dumb questions and is saying, no wonder everyone wants out of these Canadian markets and being on these Canadian teams. Because it's ridiculous. Dumbass questions you get asked. I know you guys aren't huge baseball fans, but it's like New York baseball. The questions they ask these guys sometimes is so absurd. Just,
I do like... I will admit one thing I don't love about this sport is in the NFL, in the MLB, like I don't watch the NBA. That's not a league to me, but they ask legit questions. Like, why did you go with that play call on 4th and 1? Why did you throw the ball?
Those games are a little more strategic. So those questions are easier. You can't ask.
I want to know why Kyle McLean's out. Why did
you make that pass off the half wall in 0.1 seconds over there?
But I do want to know with the coach, I do want to know why Kyle McLean was out there in the last 30 seconds when a goal was allowed. Like, there are things that like the reporters don't ask.
I think especially the coaches, right? Because like that's their job to strategize and set up a plan and put out the lines and whatever else. I'm very much okay with pressing the coaches a little bit more. But if you're going to press the players, especially a player of McDavid's caliber, like come correct, you know?
Yeah, you better be. I'm with you there. The players is different than the coach for me. I agree.
And
with
I'm
you.
All for pressing the players too, but just like, don't ask stupid ass questions like that. That's actually disrespectful to me. It's the best player in the world. He played great in the Olympics. He plays great every playoff.
He was MVP.
He was chasing Gretzky's playoff points record 1 year. It's not like the guy's not clutch. He's just not on the best of teams depth wise. So. I don't know. I think the questions are stupid.
Yeah. No, we're aligned on that one. The last question from Steve: how successful was the pizza fundraiser today?
Oh, thank you, Steve. It went really well, and it's really nice doing them. I think it's our, I want to say it's our fourth time doing the Pizza Strong. Always really good causes, and always feels really good. And you know, you get people coming in and thanking us and telling their stories. Some very nice, some sad. Like, you know, I had a couple people come in today that knew the officer that passed away, so that was a little tough and sad to hear. But you know, it makes you, you know, I'm happy to do it. We're us as a whole, we're happy to do it, and you just got to be thankful, man, because some of these things happen and it just puts things into perspective. So all good overall, and it's a nice thing to be able to do.
100%.
Very nice.
That'll bring us home.
Great. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. Islanders hockey's finally back, and so are we. Talk to you soon.
Father, where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Io's house in the middle.